COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to a follow-up interview with Jacob Lang, who I spoke to previously about this time last year from his prison cell for his involvement with January 6th. And what he was telling me last time was actually quite harrowing about how they were being treated. And I'm hoping that he's being treated better. But he's at least managed to tell me so far that there have been lots of things that he's been doing to keep fighting the good fight, I suppose, is how I would put it. So first of all, thank you very much for calling us. How are you doing? How are things going? Are your conditions better than the last time I spoke to you?
Hey, Josh, how's it going, brother? Thanks for having me on. The conditions have been varying. I've been to over 13 different prisons in the last about 950 days I've been incarcerated without a trial. So the conditions of confinement as a political prisoner here in America, they change all the time. Right now I'm in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. I'm with about 30 other January 6th defendants. All of us are still waiting trial. A few of us are waiting to go to prison because the government has found some of them guilty at trial, and some of them have taken plea deals. But in this particular unit where I'm at in Washington, D.C., there's kind of this patriot family, and everyone takes care of each other, and we cook together, and we watch the Republican debates, and we watched Donald Trump last night on Twitter with Elon Musk, with like 90 million other Americans and people watching all over the world. And we stay together as a unit. So this is a good place to be. God forbid, if you're going to be a political prisoner, you want to be locked up with all the other Trump supporters.
Well, it's nice to hear that you've at least got some, you know, like-minded people to keep you company, because I did hear about, you know, being kept in solitary confinement and things like that. I've seen news articles talking about how people hadn't even had any contact for months and months with anyone else. And I'm glad that that's not necessarily been the case for you. But I think it'd probably be worthwhile to refresh everyone's memories about what's happened. So obviously, on January 6th, lots of people were arrested afterwards for trying to break into the Capitol building, particularly in the rear entrance. There was some violence between the police and protesters. And of course, many, many people went into the Capitol building. And I believe Jake is the person who's facing the largest list of charges, unfortunately. Hopefully, some of those are going to be dropped. I believe one of them was dropped, which was an obstruction charge, where they tried to claim that you were obstructing, even though you posted, I think it was on Instagram, where you were in the crowd. You couldn't have been more accommodating. So they did eventually drop that, even though I think many judges actually objected to that, which seemed entirely partisan to me. Is that a sort of fair account, would you say?
Yeah, I'll unpack this a little bit for the British audience, to our friends over the pond here. God bless all you patriots over there, freedom fighters and conservatives and people who love God and love country. The American people stand with you guys, and I know that you guys stand with us and with Trump, trying to fight for our freedom and our country and get our country back on track. So that's what we were doing on January 6th. We were there to protest the stolen election in 2020. Joe Biden and the Democrats orchestrated one of the biggest frauds in history. And with the mail-in ballot voting that was happening during COVID, and with all of their censorship in the media from Hunter Biden and his laptop and all of his degradation and the Biden crime family's money all being, you know, distributed to them through corrupt regimes in Ukraine and China. Through all of those things, they basically stole the election in a massive way from Donald Trump. You know, the American Donald Trump represents liberty and our constitutional rights and our freedom. And they were trying to take that from us and install basically a communist puppet leader bought and paid for by China, Joseph Biden. So the American people stood up. We protested on January 6th, and things got crazy when the Capitol Police unleashed basically an ambush, an attack on there's about a million unarmed American patriots there that day, just protesting peacefully, and the Capitol Police incited and started this violent uproar when they just were unleashing chemical weapons on us, pepper spray, tear gas. They were hitting us with rubber bullets. I got shot myself, and they broke my foot later on in the day. They were clubbing us with metal batons, using riot shields on us. It got very scary because the crowd of Trump supporters is not all young men like me. There were a lot of women and elderly people there, veterans, and even a lot of children there. But the people that showed up to support Donald Trump, it was the most beautiful crowd, Josh, you've ever seen, of just Americans. You know, we have a very, very diverse country here, and we had black and white, Asian and Spanish people and all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds and cultural backgrounds. People like me from New York City and people from the down south heart of the country. And it was just it was like the Woodstock of patriotism. There's so much love and so much this love of country in the air and peace and love and joy. And, you know, it turned into what it turned into because we had to defend ourselves and defend our country and defend our capital grounds from basically the communist coup d'etat that was happening inside our Congress building. And we did defend it, even if only for a short time. Four people lost their lives. Four unarmed American citizens were killed by the Capitol Police. By the Gestapo, as I like to call them, the tyrants, and the tyrants murdered 400 American citizens that day. And history will show that January 6th was like another American revolution, even though it wasn't planned. It didn't design to be that way. The American patriots stood up, free men stood up against tyranny that day. And, you know, we showed the world that America still got that rebel backbone, that everybody knows and loves, that we're willing to fight for liberty.
Yeah, and I think that the treatment of the people involved in January 6th kind of demonstrates the threat to the regime that true patriotic Americans face, because it seems some of the sentencing in particular seems very disproportionate to what people had actually done. Like I saw some people getting 10 years, and the fact they'd even got a trial, they might consider themselves lucky in inverted commas, because of course you've been in jail now for nearly 1,000 days without even getting a trial. Is that coming any closer at all?
Yeah, my trial is slated to begin in October. I want to, you know, basically there's a circumstance that's been unfolding in the courtroom that you were talking about. You mentioned to the audience here that I got one of my charges dropped. That was true, actually. So my 1512 obstruction of Congress charge, which is the most serious charge that I have, it's a 20-year maximum felony. The Biden regime has used it to weaponize. You hear about this weaponization of our law and of the Department of Justice against American citizens and against Donald Trump. Well, this law code was weaponized to threaten and to imprison literally thousands of January 6ers that showed up. We've had over 1,200 arrests
since January 6th of patriots that showed up at the Capitol that day. And hundreds of us are doing prison time for this particular charge, obstruction of Congress. I got my charge dropped at the district court level in the federal district court from this obstruction of Congress charge. But then, Josh, the government appealed it. And in the appellate division, it got overturned. So the only recourse now, basically the decision to have my charge dropped got overturned. So as of right now, I have that charge back on me. I have to face that charge at my trial in October, unless what we've done is I'm the first January 6th defendant to push my case up to the Supreme Court. And we filed called a writ of certiorari. And we filed it in the Supreme Court to basically combat this ridiculous and weaponized law of the 1512 obstruction of Congress. So in September, late September, the Supreme Court will be deciding whether to take on this case that has some of the most massive political implications right now in America, because not only have I been charged with obstruction of Congress, but we just saw Donald Trump himself about 2 weeks ago. He was charged with obstruction of Congress as well. So this case has the potential, if the Supreme Court takes it and if they rule in our favor, has the potential to exonerate hundreds of January 6th defendants that are currently rotting away in the horrible prison conditions that are in America, some of us for decades. And it also has the potential to exonerate Donald Trump and keep him out of prison as he's running for president in 2024. So the stakes couldn't be higher. It's literally an astronomical Supreme Court case that could change the landscape of American politics if we win.
Well, this Supreme Court case, as I understand it, this is something that you've been pushing yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a perfect follow-up question, because we are pushing it because this Supreme Court case is not so much about the letter of the law code. The 1512 letter of the law code, though it is, it's very obscure, it's very wide-reaching, it's overwhelming in its reaching, how it can be applied to basically any scenario. The reason why we're going after it so much and the filing that we filed is really to actually kind of call attention to the weaponization of the law code in America right now. The fact that the Democrats, the current political party in power, is using the FBI and the Department of Justice and this particular law code to weaponize, to it bludgeon basically their political opponents, Donald Trump and all of his people, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, all of these very important political leaders of ours, and all of hundreds and thousands of their supporters, right? And the fact that they're using it in that manner is basically, it's ruining the political system in America. It's turning American politics into what we would see in maybe like Lebanon or, you know, some kind of third world country where the current political party in power uses their power and their Department of Justice and their law enforcement to go after the former political party and their main opponents and try to imprison Donald Trump during the election year when he's the political front runner of the Republican Party. The Democrats are trying to imprison him. So this Supreme Court filing is more than just about obliterating this one particular law code. It's about saying if there wasn't a 1512 code in the federal statute, they would find another law code and weaponize it against the American people and do the same thing and pervert it. And so we're fighting basically to get American politics back to a healthy place where we're not imprisoning and going after our political opponents, where we're, you know, duking it out in the normal way, not coercing and threatening and imprisoning our political opponents. So that's why this 1512 Supreme Court filing is so important.
So if your case in the Supreme Court is ruled favorably, you're basically freeing Donald Trump up to become president, assuming that the elections are free and fair, which I do have my doubts about. They're probably going to try again. But that's a very significant thing because, of course, the Supreme Court seems to be more favorable to that sort of line of inquiry, if you will, because of course they recently repealed Roe v. Wade, which the Republicans and conservatives more generally have been trying to do for quite some time. So it seems like they may well be receptive, of course.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I certainly have my fingers crossed that it's going to work out. How do you feel about how it's going to go? Because I think you probably stand a good chance.
Yeah. The implications, like I said, are so massive here. We do have a conservative Supreme Court right now, which is definitely in our favor. A lot of God-fearing Americans are very happy that we have that because, you know, the way that the American political system set up here with our president being ridiculously liberal and, you know, basically going out of his way to try to destroy the American value system, the Christian value system that our country's been founded on, and push all of the LGBTQ and transgender agenda and the ruining of the nuclear family and the abortion kind of lifestyle that that the Democrats are pushing in all of the major cities in America. And Joe Biden has been championing that. And, you know, for a while we had a Democrat Congress, but we still have a Democratic Senate right now. And so the judicial system being in the conservative favor right now with the Supreme Court is kind of like our only check of power that the Republicans have on what's going on in America right now. The conservatives, the Christian, really the Christian base of America. And, you know, we're really praying and we're hoping on God to deliver, you know, basically a good favorable outcome from this Supreme Court case, because, you know, this is the funny way God works, Josh. For the last 2.5, almost 3 years now, I've been sitting in prison needing Donald Trump to save me, for him to become president and issue a pardon to me and the other Jan Sixers. And God has now turned the table and he's made it so that Donald Trump needs me and my Supreme Court filing and what we're going to be duking out in the Supreme Court to save him so that he can become president. To exonerate him and free him up so that they don't imprison him during his election year. So it's crazy how the tables turn. First, I needed Trump to save me. Now he needs me to save him. And, you know, it's becoming to the point where, you know, I think everybody's on the edge of their seat waiting to see how this entire thing pans out with 2024 and the Trump election, because really, Josh, this can only go one of two ways. Either America rises back up and we reignite the torch of liberty and, you know, our Constitution and our country become as sacred as it was to us, or the degradation of the American way of life just continues to spiral out of control with Joe Biden and the Democrats. They don't represent necessarily the Democrats of old and what we used to see maybe in a John F. Kennedy kind of Democrat. They represent really a complete opposite of the American value system, our principles, our conduct here, being, you know, men of righteous character and integrity, biblical men that go by the word of God. We have basically turned from that in the Democrat Party, and they represent for a lot of people this total just absence of goodness and of purity and wholesomeness that the American way of life stands for. So, you know, it's really a fight of good or evil. It's spiritual warfare right now to get Donald Trump back into office, because he kind of represents that Christian godly character that America stands for, and Joe Biden does not.
Yeah, I do think that 2024 is going to be a very, very important year for the entire world, really, because of course, this is a phrase I'm rather fond of, if America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And you don't want America to be sick, because it affects everyone. And so it's of importance not only to Americans, but to certainly to us in Britain. We consider America one of our closest allies, and the rest of the world as well, because what happens in American politics tends to affect the entire global order. So the significance of this election could not be overstated enough. And the sort of situation whereby you were reliant on Donald Trump and now he's reliant on you, there is a sort of, I don't know whether to call it twisted poetry, but there's something to it that, I don't know, something transcendent about it in a sense, I suppose, is the word I should use, that your fates are intertwined with one another. But I think that if this Supreme Court case does work out for you, there's no way that he's going to abandon you or forget that. He's going to have to pardon you, right? Which is, I imagine, what ultimately you're hoping for at the end of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because of the nature of the charges against me, Josh, and first of all, I do want to speak on that transcendent. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm a faithful believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's poured out his Spirit on this country and, you know, in England as well. God bless you guys over there, a Christian principled nation as well. And only God can write this story. I think it's better than any thing that you might see coming out of Hollywood, even though they are pretty inventive. The way that the truth works sometimes is stranger than fiction. And, you know, for the last, like I said, almost 1,000 days locked up, I have spent about 20 months of that in solitary confinement. Josh, it's just recently I've been brought out of solitary confinement back with the other January Sixers. And so I had so much time alone in God's word and alone to pray and to seek God and his face and his presence in my life to basically bolster me through this entire imprisonment and lead me and guide me to help me start all the organizations I've started to benefit the January Sixers and do the outreach that we do, speaking to awesome patriotic and liberty-loving podcasters like yourself all over the world. And, you know, he's orchestrated this. It's transcendent because it comes from heaven, and he's the orchestrator, and he is watching over each and every single one of us. And, you know, all glory to God's name, because only he could write this story. And the outcome that's going to happen, he promises us in his word that I give you a good hope in the future, and I do all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my name. So I trust in that. My faith rests securely that he is going to work this for our good. And though the night may be dark right now and the situation may be grim, hope comes in the morning. And, you know, we serve a Lord that is not in the grave. He is alive. He is risen. And he will bring us all up with him. And we will see redemption in America and liberty come back to this country. I'm sure of it. By Jesus' name, I'm sure of it.
That's very heartening to hear. And it's worth mentioning, you touched on it briefly, that you have been doing a lot whilst you've been in prison, probably more than most people do outside of it, to help further what I see as the good and noble, in that, of course, you've mentioned that you started a fundraiser, a legal fundraiser for January 6th. You're also doing lots of media appearances and things like that. So would you be able to tell everyone what you've been doing in your situation to try and bring about some good, I suppose?
Yeah, it's been, you know, through the circumstances that I've been in, I've had a lot of time to map out and plan exactly how I want to go about bringing out the truth of January 6th. That's where this entire movement stems from. There is inside America, in the Trump supporter community, there is a massive swath of tens of millions of Americans who support the January 6th Patriots. They regard us as, you know, like founding fathers, standing up to tyranny. I've received letters. I just received a postcard with an American flag on the back of it from a Vietnam War veteran calling us heroes and calling us patriots. And so we have, and I've received probably 10,000 or more pieces of letters and postcards and love from, actually, I just received one from Great Britain. Let me see if I can find it really quick. I had it right in my hand here the other day. That was just really heartening to know that we have patriots from across the pond who support us and love us. It was great. I'm trying to look for it because there was a certain city on it I wanted to give a shout out to the people in Great Britain who support us. It's beautiful. I'm looking for it. I can't find it right now, but we do have so much support. And through that support, through those those channels of people pouring out their love for us, I've been able to basically build some organizations around that. And so the main one that I do is j6truth.org. It's the fight for the truth of January 6th. We produced a documentary last year that has become the number one viewed video ever on Rumble. It's called The Truth About January 6th. And Rumble is like our conservative version of YouTube. Sure that it's becoming a little bit more popular over there.
We're very familiar with it, yeah. We use it
on Rumble.
Every
we have
day.
Over 2 million views on that that video.
Yeah, that's really great. And we know Rumble very well. We use their. I think we stream on there every day, pretty much. And they've been pretty good at actually defending free speech, which is nice. But what was it I was going to say? Of course you've done the J6 truth thing. You've also been involved in raising money for the legal funds as well for people who were arrested to do with January 6th as well.
100%. I have found the letter here just quickly.
Oh, good.
It's from I don't know how to do this in the British way of writing letters here, but I think Bramley, is that somewhere in the United
Bramley,
Kingdom?
Did you say?
Bramley, Surrey, or Pentire?
Did you say Burnley or something like that? It sounded like it.
Are you familiar with that? Pentire or Bramley or Surrey?
Oh, I know Surrey, yeah. It's difficult to make out exactly where you're saying, but that's somewhere in England, basically, Surrey. Not too far from here, actually. But yeah, that definitely is somewhere in England.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Bramley Bramley is where exactly it's from.
So oh, Bramley. Okay.
The Surrey and the Bramley Patriots.
Yeah. Well, there are plenty of people here who support what what you stand for, and I'm certainly one of them. And I think people are becoming increasingly sympathetic when the narrative falls apart about January 6th, and I think that is slowly happening. But if people wanted to send you anything, is there any means of doing so? I imagine, I don't know whether you can be sent things like books, for example, which might help pass the time, might help, raise your spirits, if you will.
Yes, that first of all, send your prayers up for me and the other January 6th family. So many families have been ripped apart by this. And that's one of the reasons why we did start from the J6 Truth Organization, the January 6th Legal Fund, to help kind of support these families and their legal fees while they're going through these trials. You know, you mentioned that. And so if anybody wants to support, first of all, send your prayers. You can send letters. There's some information on how to do that on j6truth.org. And there's also some call to actions on j6truth.org to donate to the January 6th Legal Fund that has been set up to support the January 6ers. We've helped dozens of people retain competent attorneys that are, bulldogs, they're fighters. They go into the courtroom and they're not backing down to the federal corrupt prosecutors that just want to see the January 6ers rot away we've got sentenced people to 18 years, 14 years, 12 and a half years. Not the people we represented, but, they have gone for literally, blood here and tried to ruin lives and put people in jail for decades. So we're fighting that right now with the J6 Legal Fund. That's been just an incredible undertaking. It's about to hang up on me here, Josh. So let me give you guys a ring back. Thank you so much again for having me. God bless.
I speak for everyone at the Lotus Eaters in saying that, yes, we wish you all the best. And I think that what you're doing is a very noble thing. And what else was I going to say? Can't actually remember. It keeps on cutting off. It's throwing off my questions. But is there anything else you want to mention? Well, I try and remember what I was going to say.
There's still a big fight here in America for the January 6th Patriots, for our freedom. There's still a lot of, help that we need and support we need from the international community. Donations are a great way to help. Prayers, writing letters, just, helping share some of the content that we put out on, you know, our social medias and stuff like that. There's a big fight here still for the truth. And so, you know, we love to invite people, your audience, to get involved, because like you said, when America sneezes, the whole world catches a cold. And, you know, we were trying so hard in America to combat the tyranny here and combat this Marxism and this communism that is just infecting the globe right now. And so, you know, just get spiritually involved and invested with us to help out the J6 Legal Fund. Go to j6truth.org and click one of the donation buttons. Those donations are so appreciated by us. We're so grateful to have your guys help. There's still a big court fight going on. Now, if you want to check out and stay really in tune to the January 6th community, Josh, I have my own podcast that I run from prison that has become very large, and it's a big blessing because it gets our voice out there. It's actually orchestrated by Jim Hoff and the Gateway Pundit, who connected us. It's their flagship podcast. It's called the Political Prisoner Podcast, and you guys can, you know, download that or watch that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just type in my name on the search bar, just type Jake Lang and on Apple or Spotify podcast, and you guys can check that out and stay in tune with everything that's happening in the Jan 6 world. I'm bringing in on a weekly basis different prisoners into my prison cell here and interviewing them and getting their stories out there. We're talking to people outside that are, you know, political leaders like, you know, General Flynn and Laura Loomer and, you know, Dinesh D'Souza. They've all been on my podcast, some really big voices in American politics right now. So that's just an awesome way to get connected too on the Political Prisoner Podcast.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. And I remembered what my question was going to be now. So I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene has been really good in, you know, making sure that the welfare of the January 6ers is good, and she seems to be doing everything she can. Have there been any more politicians that have been trying to help you guys out at all?
Yeah, there. I mean, you know, Washington politics is so toxic, and everybody's always worried about their public image and, you know, how things will affect them and whatnot. So it's actually been very hard to get that kind of support that we're looking for from the establishment. Most of our support comes from the grassroots people here in America. But we do have, you know, Troy Neals, who's visited the prison here. He's a sitting U.S. congressman. Louis Gohmert is a former sitting U.S. congressman. He was currently in office when he visited here with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They've championed our cause in many ways. Donald Trump on Twitter last night with Tucker Carlson was mentioning January 6th and how it's been the narrative has been spun by the media, and you know they're not talking about, you know, the overwhelming love and patriotism was there. They're, you know, they love to call us domestic terrorists and racists and all kinds of ridiculous things. Even though I, you know, caught on video on j6truth.org and all over the media, I was, you know, witnessed and caught on video saving the life of a black man who was being murdered by the Capitol Police. They were abusing him and bludgeoning him to death. He was unconscious on the ground, covered by other bodies of people that the Capitol Police pushed over on top of Philip Anderson. And I was able to, by God's grace, get in there and save him. So, you know, them calling us racist, they're just hiding the different videos and different parts of the narrative that don't, you know, that they don't want the American people to see, because they want to, you know, portray us and paint us and, call us all of these, you know, wicked names, insurrectionists and all this nonsense. But I think the American people at their heart know who we are, Josh, and I think so do the British people.
I would very much hope so. And it's worth mentioning as well, well done for saving that man, first and foremost, but also that one of the people that died on January 6th was someone who was crushed to death, and that was due to the police, largely, in that they were pushing people basically onto them and making them flee, and they didn't realise that this poor lady was there. And so there was a real risk of people dying, some people who might not have kind of either been at January 6th or done nearly as much research as I have, because I've both done a full timeline of it, all the events that have happened, as well as I had a photographer on the ground on both January 5th and 6th that told me all about everything that was going on, and I had all of the photographic evidence. That's all available on our website as well, if you want to look for it. But yes, I think that there are lots and lots of misconceptions about what actually went on. And if you do the digging and actually look at some of the primary resources out there, as you say, there are videos. We've got lots of photos on our website. There are lots of things that paint a very different narrative than the mainstream media. And one funny thing that I noticed about it is when I did this timeline on the 7th of January, the day after January 6th, obviously, we went via the evidence and documented everything, and seeing all of these basically fake news narratives emerge in the media, we knew immediately, hang on, where have they got the evidence for this? And of course, the clearest thing is that they're just making it up to make everything look bad. And I imagine you probably feel the same, Jake.
Oh, 100%. It's classic what the mainstream media does here in America. It's been so corrupted. The leftist media, Washington Post, New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, all of these different organizations, companies, they sell such lies to the American people every day. And one of the biggest ones they sold to us was that the election wasn't stolen and that January 6th was an insurrection. If you take away those two things right there, they really wouldn't have much to report on, because every single time you turn on the TV, they're just attacking Donald Trump. They're attacking the January 6ers, and they're claiming that the election was never stolen. So, the media problem here in America is so just bad, and that's why we do what we do. Me and you, podcasting and whatnot, to try to get the truth to the American people, and the truth about that woman, Roseanne Boylan, who was crushed to death. Actually, Philip Anderson, the man I saved, was holding hands with Roseanne, and I was actually trying to save Roseanne's life. That's caught on video. I was yanking and pulling at Roseanne, and she died in my arms from the bludgeoning and the crushing from the Capitol Police. And, it haunts me to this day, but you won't see that kind of stuff in mainstream news media, these stories and stuff. They don't even recognize the four people that died on January 6th were unarmed American civilians. They keep on selling lies that Capitol Police officers died that day, and no Capitol Police officers died that day. So if you can't get basic facts like human death correct in the media, and they're willing to tell you big stories about who died, I mean, we've got much, much larger problems than we really can even conceive.
No, absolutely. So I think we're about at the point where we should probably wrap up. But before we do, of course, I wanted to commend your sort of spirit and your determination to make the best of what some would see as a very bad situation. And of course, it is bad, but you've done a lot of good from a very difficult situation, I think, in that you're involved in lots of things that seem to be doing very tangible good things. You may well end up saving the United States and exonerating Trump in the Supreme Court. I mean, it's very impressive, and the fact that you've still kept such high spirits and you're sounding just as principled and determined as ever is really a testament to your character. But is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap things up?
Enough. Man, thank you for that. I'm humbled to hear that, Josh. Being a political prisoner in America is kind of like the end-all, be-all. It's so crazy. You would never expect those two phrases, American political prisoner, do not belong to be in the same sentence. So being the first generation of American political prisoners, and if we continue to go down the direction we're going in this country, there will be a lot more, unfortunately. Is a high calling from God, and to remain steadfast in your convictions is something that he calls us for. So I just rely on him. I lean on him. And I'm thankful for all he's given me. And even though I'm locked up, I feel free in Christ. And There's so much work to be done, and if we're all just diligent and doing it together, we can see a great change in this country. And I appreciate your audience and your guys' attention today to this this crazy issue. And thank you so much, Josh, for having me on, brother. God bless you.
Thank you very much for coming on and talking to us all, and God bless you too. And I very much appreciate what you're doing, and I'll of course be keeping an eye on, and hopefully the next time I talk to you, you're going to be a free man and you've saved America.
Well, only Jesus Christ can save America, but I'll do my little part. Thanks so much, Josh. God bless everybody across the pond. Freedom isn't free. Somebody's got to pay.
Okay. Thank you very much for talking to us. And thank you very much for watching this interview. And goodbye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.